In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. That's a big one. It's a big one. It's a good one. We're going to kind of entitle it this way, The Key to the Golden Society. The Key to the Golden Society. So by the end of the day today, by God's grace, we'll solve the world's problems. He will solve the world's problems. The Key to the Golden Society. That's what it is. Perhaps you saw these two runners trip in the Olympics recently after their race was cut short. I'm not going to cast blame, but it seemed like they were tripped up themselves. Okay. But what was really sweet is that Nigel and Isaiah, after their, like, they train their whole life for this moment. And instead of collapsing emotionally, internally, or beating each other up, they finished the race arm in arm, walking, and quite a display of kindness. And when the world sees that type of kindness where you would expect the opposite, the world loves that. It loves to see someone who's treating someone else with the same care that they would want to be treated. And I think part of the reason why this is such an important lesson is that we see it a little more rarely lately. I believe we have. There's this political climate that is built on extremes, and that's been pushed maybe for the last 2 years at least. And so it's almost like, okay, I have these 20 things politically, and if you don't agree with all 20 of them, you're of the devil. It's almost like that's what people think. It's like there's no understanding or trying to talk or trying to understand where someone's coming from. There's no walking in someone else's shoes. We see this in political extremes. We see this on social media. People can post with anonymity the basest and cruelest of things to others. And it's like it's talking about their garden or it's talking about the way they change their hair. And it's like, how cruel can you be? And so our middle school children, our high school children are terrorized by what others are saying about them or what they're not being included in. And so this blows this up to an certain extent that when you see someone being kind or treating someone's posts as you want your posts to be treated, it's rare. We see this in our city as crime numbers really move up. This last year, we're thinking, okay, this is COVID related, but they're continuing to increase. And there's people treating others with cruelty to such an extent that even our society says you can't do that and you have to be placed away from others. Maybe we've heard this even recently with harassing and injuring people just because their ethnicity. That is on the rise. How could someone think that way? How could someone treat someone else that way? And so we're finding fewer cases of this, and our society is becoming more and more acceptable to just really lose it with people instead of being kind. And so we need this rule now, I think, more than any other time. And we find this rule very clearly taught by Jesus. But I would say this, the rule is well known. It's the machine for carrying out the rule that is not as well known. And that's what the Lord gives us today. And so we're going to look at the golden rule. And we're going to review it. But we're going to find in this text and in the Sermon on the Mount itself how the world can change through following out this command. All right. So that's what we're going to do here in just a few minutes as we consider the way to treat one another, the way to treat one another. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. We find a better blessing, a better law, a better livelihood. And we find this better community, right? And we need community. We want this for one another, for our families, for ourselves. Well, we saw this, do not judge one another. Jesus is shared in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 7. Pray for one another. We found that last week. And now do for one another. Do for one another is verse 12 here, this golden rule. As we go through it, we'll find an explanation of the golden rule. We're going to take a little bit of time with that so we clearly understand what Jesus is saying and let that sink into our heart And then we're going to find a motivation or the engine for the golden rule. And I think that is the essential part of the message today. And then the third one, a great reason. The text gives us the great reason for obeying this golden rule, also motivating us forward. So let's start with an explanation here, verse 12. And it's just one verse, so we should be able to clip through this pretty quickly. One verse here, but every word is so important. So an explanation. We find the golden action, right? The golden action here. As he explains this, it is an action. And everything, therefore, and what's the action? Treat is the command. It's the action. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. So we find this action is treat. We would say, actually, the original is do. Do. It's not do unto others as they just did unto you. Right? We would like to hear that and a little bit harder. That's not what it is. The phrase is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And actually, the word in the original is that idea of do. It's a doing. It's an action word that we're commanded to do. So it's the action is doing. Not just think about it. Not just plan to. Not just to say, this is the kind of person I am. It's actually putting it into action. You've heard the popular secular proverb, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I intend to do is not what Jesus is saying. It's to do. So many causes to say you support, so many causes to know about, so many things to be involved in. But what do we do? There's hours in your life. What did you do? What did you do this week for others as they wanted you to do for them? Right. And so it begins with planning. It begins with sitting down in the message and thinking about it. But until we do, we haven't accomplished the golden rule. I have all these different responsibilities. I have billions of people to do unto them as they would have me done to me, as I would have them done to me. And so, limited, yes, but I have to be doing. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Another kind of component to this action, this golden action, is the wanting. So we understand this. The action is doing, but doing what you want. And I think that helps us, right? That's the second component to this action. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. And so this is helpful for us. It gives us a gauge. What do you want today? That's easy. I want a lot of stuff. I want a lot of things. I want someone to be kind to me. I want someone to think the best about me. I want someone to pray for me. I want someone to help me, right? We know what we want. All of our wanters work very well. We're born with wanters, wanting things for myself. God made us that way. It's a self, what is it called? Survival mechanism? we want to extend our lives. We have that by creation. But that became a little broken or distorted at the fall to where that's kind of all we want now. There's this self, it's not just self-preservation, it's selfishness. We're born with a self, the Bible calls the flesh, and it's motivated to do things for self. We're all born with that. I know what I want for myself. And this is the genius of this command. Jesus has taken that broken, fallen condition that all of you have, from a baby, and he's put it on its head to make it positive. You all know what you want for yourself. You're made to want these things for self. And he's going to harness that wanter to direct it toward others. I'm going to put myself in that position. We're just going to trade places. And my wanter is going to tell me how they want to be treated. Because that's what they would want. Because that's what I would want. And I realize we're all different. But to a large extent, you can just take this rule and flip it on its side. And so you go to the restaurant, let's put it at McDonald's, and you see that person behind the counter and they're getting everything wrong. Have you ever done anything wrong? Right. What do you want? How would you want to be treated your first day? Well, I would want someone to give me some patience, right? And so we're just treating them the same way we would want. It's a beautiful thing. This is genius. Now, it's not new. This is taught in many places. It's going to become very Christian in just a minute. But it's taking something that we're all very good at by nature, understanding what we want, and it's twisting it on its head. And so we teach it to the children in nursery. It's that simple. This is so simple. It gets harder with this next part. Look at the extent of the action. The golden action, but look at the extent of the action. We kind of skipped over it really quick. In everything. Now this becomes hard. No. This becomes impossible. In everything. This is the first word. The original just says everything. All. Treat people this way. And so now we come to an impossibility. It's easy. Listen, it is probably, I think for most of you, it's easy to come here for an hour a week, hour and a half a week, and be kind to one another. I could do that. I could put on a smiling face for a little bit. But that's not all. That's just a tiny part of your life. This is saying all, at all times. And so the Lord, again, gets very deep with us. Everything, in everything, do for others what you want done for yourself. All encompassing, at all times. Sunday at church, yes. But then tomorrow morning when you first wake up. Fellowship meal, prayer time, board meeting, right? Or at McDonald's in line. Or at the library, or your hardest conference calls, that person is still dragging their feet, still unprepared, right? This is the all that it's talking about. Much more difficult. For me, this is Mondays, right? Sundays are very draining. Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday kind of let my hair down a little bit. And it's really hard to continue to serve as I want to be served. It's really easy to say, well, I've been serving, so it's time to be served. Nope. As a dad, still a dad, I'm still a brother, I'm still a husband, still a pastor. But for me, this is Monday morning. It's impossible to continue to live the golden rule on Monday morning for me. This is dying to self and Jesus living through. Everything means all the time. Everything means all people. You're fine with your good friends, maybe your family, maybe someone you're trying to impress at work. But then there are people who are really difficult to be around. They're really difficult. They're exceptionally difficult people. Certainly the golden rule doesn't apply to them. No, all. Jesus just comes out the first word, all. Every person, every situation, every time. Golden rule. They probably popped into your head, the person that's really difficult to apply the golden rule to. And so we teach this to children. Two cookies left. There are three children. Okay, kiddos, what would you want that person to do for you? Right? So easy. We need to take it out of the nursery and apply it to work. Right? So easy in the nursery. Listen, Jim Bob, you took that toy from Sally. What would you want Sally to treat you that way? No, of course not. This is the golden rule. But it follows us out of the nursery into the schoolyard, out of the schoolyard into college, into work, into family settings. In all of these ways, we're to do to others as you would have them do to you. Do you work in sales? I'm not picking on the sales. Do you work in sales? You want to represent this well because you would want someone else to represent it well as you were selling something to them. I don't want to be tricked. Do you want to be tricked? No. And so we need to do this. What about if our boss, right? What would, if I were the boss, how would I want to be treated? What about with your employees? If you were an employee, how would you want to be treated as an employee? What about your neighbor? What about citizens of a city? How loud would you want your muffler to be? Right? Family members. Kiddos, how would your mom want you to leave that table? If you were the mom. Think of all your relationships. This was helpful for me this week. If you think of the all in this way, you have all these different relationships, all these different connections with all these different people. And so each one of these slices is a different part of your responsibilities. And you may have 5 people, you may have 100 people in each one of these. And to each one of them, we need to be thinking on that other end, how would I want to be treated if I were on the other end of that line? Right, so I just gave this one aspect of thought because I really was able to do this week. My dad visited. My son had a birthday. Right. And then my daughter's headed to college. And I'm still a husband. So I had to think through, even in just a couple hours, how can I do all of these? Right. And it just helps you. It helps you to think, well, if I were 11-year-old leaving, you know, and having a birthday, how would I want my dad to treat me? And now I know as a dad how to treat my 11-year-old. So helpful. You have all of these different relationships as a big wheel, and we just need to walk in that person's shoes, and then maybe you'll be more patient with your boss. Maybe you'll be more patient with your dad or with your children. Or with your parents, or with your pastor. This is really helpful for us, isn't it? But it does leave us, if we stop here, it leaves us with an impossibility. And so we find Immanuel Kant using this principle, the categorical imperative. And so philosophers have been doing this for ages. The idea of if everyone were to do this, what kind of society would this be? And that's the yes or no of whether you should go forward. And so if everyone were to have really loud mufflers, right, what kind of society would this be? Would anybody ever sleep? Sorry if you have a loud muffler. That came to my mind. I didn't mean to pick on you. I'm going to try to put myself in your car. I'm changing my muffler. No. The great motivation. So we need to get to the second one. The second point is so important. This sounds like a small word, but it is the key to this. What is the word there? It's therefore. You see, this is given not as a principle for everyone. It's given as a principle for those who have been experiencing the teaching of Jesus up to this point, and especially the previous paragraph. This is how this happens. Therefore. Right. All things, therefore, do unto others as you want others to do for you. You do. Yes. All things sounds impossible. How? Therefore, this is how. This is the engine for the golden command. We got to move up to the previous verses. He gives us a model. God gives us a model. How can I do this? Well, look in your Bible to Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, right? He points us to our Heavenly Father. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man among you is there who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You see the tie there? There's this principle of you have a loving, kind, heavenly Father. Look at your family spiritually. You may not have a good model in your family where you were raised. But you know what? This is the model now. You have a heavenly Father, and look at what He does. He would never give a child something that was not best for them. He gives to you of all good things. Look at your heavenly Father. And so we find in this, therefore, we cannot give it up. This word is so important to the golden rule. And you find teaching in very quote unquote Christian churches that are not Christian churches, because they're teaching a legalism saying this is the way you have to live this to change society. But they're giving no gospel motor to carry it out. And so the gospel motor is in the previous verses. Therefore, because you have a family, therefore, because your Father is kind, you can do everything this way. And so this link to the Father gives us a model. Our Father shows us how to treat others this way. And we read of the gospel that Jesus washed the feet of those who were going to deny Him and were going to really sell Him out and to betray Him. And He's washing their feet. This is our Lord Jesus. And we see that behavior and we're like, certainly I can put up with a little rudeness. Certainly I can treat others with a decency that goes beyond decency. It's godliness. It's God-likeness. It's God loving the sinner. And so as we do the same way, we reflect God's nature because God is good. And so we are good to others. It's reflecting the light of the sun as the moon reflects the light of the sun. There's no light in the moon itself. It can try all at once to be the sun and it won't do it. And so you and I, we can try all we want to reflect the light of Jesus, and we can't do it without His light shining through us. And so not only does He give us the example in kindness, but He gives us the ability, He gives us that ability. There is this therefore that's tying us to that relationship of Father and Son and daughter. You cannot reflect the Father's golden rule until you are in His spiritual family. And then you won't even do it perfectly. But it's impossible. It's supernatural to live this way without this son-daughter relationship with God. Right? Sarah and I often talk about the different qualities we see in our kiddos and tendencies and wonder which side of the family is this. I don't see that in either side of our families. Right? Where did this come from? Well, it's the same thing spiritually. When we find something in our lives that is alien to us, like where did that come from? That's God shining through you, the light of Christ. You and I are all from one Noahic family. We're all brothers and sisters, cousins, thrice removed. But that's by nature. That's a broken nature. What we're talking about here, that's what we share that make us kind of unkind to one another. But what we're sharing here is there is a supernatural nature that comes from a new birth. Jesus described it to Nicodemus in that way when He said, you must be born again. There must be this spiritual birth that takes place, that changes that nature, that takes on this new nature that allows it to do the golden rule. That is the golden rule that gives the children what is good. You are in this new family, and the only way, therefore, the only way to do this is having verses 7 through 11. You have this spiritual family. We're children of the Heavenly Father, and He enables us this grace, this power to do things that we cannot do in and of ourselves. You say, well, Tim, I wasn't perfect this week, and Christ is changing. Yes, it is a progress. It's a progressive change. But once we're born again, we have this salvation, this sanctification starts, this changing into the image of Christ. But we don't have that until we come to the Lord by faith. And so He tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can I be born again? Believe. You believe that the Son of Man will be lifted up. All who look to him on the cross will be saved. And so a Christless society will continue to tread the golden rule underfoot. It will continue to try and fall short. You can't legislate that. You can curb it through legislation, but you can't legislate it. It needs that heart change. And so there's the ability through birth, but there's the ability through growth. The Lord not only gives us a model, but he motivates us through changing us. And I wish we could take time with this. We talk about this often, so I'm just going to read it briefly and move on. But it's not only this new birth from John 3, it's also growth in the new birth from 2 Corinthians 3. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Right? So there's this glory of God that says he is always following the golden rule. And we want that in our lives. And so this new birth, this salvation, changes us to where we have this new nature. We're able to do this, but that needs to grow. And that comes from us being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. It takes time. It's in the cocoon process. This is crazy. This last week, was it 2 weeks ago? This huge lunar caterpillar, this ugly green thing, and it crawled into a cocoon. And it made a cocoon right on our front door, right in the line where you open the door. So we had to not use our door for like 3 days. But when that thing comes out, it's going to be ugly still, but it's going to be really different. This lunar moth, it's amazing. It's going to be cool. Well, this is the Christian, right? There is this cocoon process as God is changing us and changing us and changing us. And we're patient in that cocoon as he brings us. Yes, there's the new life and he's transforming you from one phase of glory to the next. And so as we hear the preaching of his word, we're convicted in this area. We're convicted in this area. And the Spirit is the one who changes us to make us more like, I was not treating that person as I should at work. And the Lord convicts us and he changes us until we become more and more and more like Jesus in every area of our life. Sitting down at a meal. Providing structure at home. Holiness. Grace. Kindness. And the world sees that. And that's what people want. That Christian is living consistently the golden rule. That is attractive. That is a worker that every employee wants. That is a student that every teacher prizes. That is a child that every parent enjoys. It's a parent that the children love serving. Right, that's why this is, I'm saying, it's every part of society changes when this takes place. One quick example. This is one of the things that prodded David. He was a Muslim teenager hanging out with some of his Christian friends. A few weeks before Christmas, 7 of us jammed ourselves into Larry's Honda after Sunday night church and went out to eat. It was late. None of us were really hungry, so we just had desserts. Bunch of teenagers, little louder than should be. Our waitress was not happy. She rolled her eyes, took our order with a grumpy attitude, gave us service that was mediocre at best. She was tired and no mood to deal with a bunch of high-maintenance, dessert-only kids. We finished and left. As they always did, somebody paid for my food. Here's a non-Christian. He said, these nights never cost me a dime. He noticed that. When we piled back into Larry's car, I ended up sitting on two people, scrunched against the back seat window of the driver's side. As Larry started backing out of the parking space, I heard a loud tap, tap, inch from my ear. I tore into the sound and saw our waitress right in my face, the window, our noses separated by just the thickness of the glass. Larry slammed on the brake, rolled down the window, asked her what was wrong. Get out of the car, she yelled. Get out of the car, short of breath. What is it, Larry asked. She said she'd just been chewed out by her boss for not stopping us. We'd made a big mistake and overpaid. By a lot? Well, the bill was only $30, and you paid more than $130. Larry smiled. Ma'am, that's not a mistake. We know it's real nearly Christmas. You're working hard. We got you at the end of a long, tiring day. We just wanted to bless you, so we emptied our pockets. If we'd had more, we'd give more. We'll be back next week. Make sure to get my table. And that resonated with young David. Why? You could say, we'll treat as you want to be treated. Got back into the car. I was crying. Everyone was crying. I couldn't help it. Watching her clutch the tip of a lifetime. This is how the world knows that God lives through teenagers. Because these teenagers are different. How God lives through young adults, 6-year-olds, 96-year-olds. It's different because it's radiating a different glory, a new nature that enjoys carrying out the golden rule because it's coming through us. And we're just channels, conduits of a deeper life, the life of Christ. And that's the life that can go to the cross and be loving and kind on Monday mornings. He gives us the ability, and it has to go there. And then lastly here, we'll be real quick here, the great reason to obey the golden rule. The motivation has to be the gospel, Jesus changing us, Jesus living through us. We stop short if we don't do that, if we don't go to that therefore, tying it to the family, coming to the king, asking for grace. But this is really helpful, a good reason for, right? So this is a reason. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you for. And he's just going to give us a great reason. This is the law and the prophets. This is your Bible. This summarizes a very complex system. I forgot to put the picture here. I looked up a sale of the Talmud, 18 volumes. It was like $2,000. 18 volumes of detailed description of how to carry out the 633 commands of the Old Testament. I mean, it would fill up this whole pulpit. Hard to believe. And Jesus is going to say, let me get it in one sentence. And he does it. He nails it. Right? You don't need to splice and dice all the intricacies of every single, on Saturday, is it 5:35 that I can turn on my light switch, or 5:36 I can turn on my light switch? See, that's what we want to do. I want to just get by with as much as I can. But you know what? You're totally missing the weightier matter of the law. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Turn the lights on and help someone. And so Jesus says, this is the law and the prophets. That's the Old Testament. This is the Torah, and the prophets would summarize the rest of the Old Testament. This summarizes a complex system. And then lastly, it gives us a ethical compass. It is true that this is a profound law. It's very profound. It helps you in any difficult situation to know which way you should go. And so this is something we should all have. Whether you're Christian or non-Christian, we should all have this. And I think the Lord puts us in our conscience. But we begin to have that conscience seared and retrained to harm people. But we come out with this sense of this is decent, this is good. And so it's good to have a compass that we all share. And this golden rule would help us with that. The north side of Queens Boulevard is always the north side of Queens Boulevard. It can't be different. North can't be different to you and to me, or the compass is broken. And so we have this interesting compass that's the golden rule that helps us understand, boy, the way that treated that person on the subway, that was just cruel. That was wrong. I know that's wrong. But with Christianity, we find not just that of saying that's wrong, but saying this is how we can live differently. This is the engine. This is the motivation. This is the reason to do it. And so God can help us with the therefore to take on this new nature and actually, by God's grace, change enact lasting change in my life. And I can be a beacon for this in my setting where I live with my neighbors. And you can be a beacon for this. And this is, living out this way is how we end poverty. This is how we end injustice. This is how we make a difference in the world that lasts for generations. This is how it's done. It's by living the golden rule, yes, but no one can do that in ourselves. It's by finding the Lord change the hearts to where we're obeying it from the heart. Right? It's not litigating it, suing people. Right? Those can help with guardrails. It's not educating it, not guilting it, shaming it. It's changing it from the inside out. As God transforms our heart through the Spirit, through God's Spirit, we see that person changed. And person by person, we change society. The Lord changes society. And that's what this Sermon on the Mount is all about. It's about the world changing from the inside out. And this would be the summary way of how to do this. All right, so we're done. Let me just give you three quick applications. How can you then effect social change, changing your society by carrying this out? Number one, you yourself are growing in grace, accepting Christ's rule. Apply this to self. First of all, turn the light inside before you look for all the cracks on the outside. Secondly, sharing Christ with others. Right? And that is how this kingdom, this internal kingdom that we've been talking about, changes. This is someone else's eternal kingdom, internal kingdom as well. And then thirdly, praying for the return of Christ. He's going to institute this all by himself very soon. I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying, as far as world history goes, right, we're coming to a climax and Jesus is going to set it all straight. So it's going to come and we say, come, Lord Jesus. But until he comes, we continue to share him as king and we continue to reflect him, reflecting the golden rule. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's talk to him about this. Okay, in a moment, Pastor Andrew will lead in a closing prayer. If you'd like to pray with someone, I'll be standing in the back lobby and be happy to pray with you. But let's all come to Christ, the perfect reflection of this golden rule, and ask for grace to live this out in every aspect of our lives. Let's pray.